Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Suns celebrated in his room. I sent him upstairs. I said, all right, you watch the rest of the game in your room. Celebrated. I went in there. He was whooping it up, as he should.
He took in the whole thing?
Oh, yeah. Watched the whole thing.
No school today, right?
No school. It's freezing outside.
Perfect for him.
No school today or tomorrow for the kiddos. A lot of schools have that. No school today or tomorrow because of all the cold weather out there. So Ryan Day, you got to see Ryan Day. He doesn't feel the same way about Ryan Day as you may feel about Ryan Day.
Were you surprised that Ryan Day, after what we had seen a year ago against Notre Dame and his reaction, you know, right afterwards? I mean, this is Ryan Day told everybody, people like me, like basically, hey, watch me win a national championship. That's exactly what happened. He had the ultimate response to anybody who ever criticized him, and he took it in stride. He seemed to do it with grace and humility. I was a little surprised. I wondered if he was going to be unhinged after the game, and he wasn't.
I kind of wanted him to sound like Ric Flair. I wanted him to call out. I wanted him to call out the haters and losers.
It was an all time opportunity too.
But I also
you couldn't
think,
blame him, right? If he would have.
But he understands, though. This is the beauty of it, and I got to give him a lot of credit. I'm gonna kiss his ass a little bit today because this is outstanding stuff. Is he understands what it takes to get over. It takes his players, and his players love him. See, this is what I think is most frustrating, what has been up until now, because there's no reason to be a frustrated Ohio State fan. But what's frustrating before is that so many people wanted to fire him. They're running away and deleting those social media posts and things like that.
Oh,
they're running
away from those opinions. How do you delete those? Those are great. It tells the story.
So they can call out guys like you.
Yeah, but it helps tell the story of a season that I don't think we've ever come close to in college football. What could ever compare to the highs and the lows that Ohio State sustained this year?
You know, you'd say that, but...
Because you never had the chance. You never had the chance to recover from a game like Ohio State-Michigan.
They were so frustrated. The fans were frustrated, and you were, because you wanted to move on from them. And I'll still say it. He could leave right now, and you could still find a coach and put right back on him.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried.
You probably bring Marcus Freeman over to your sideline, for all I know. You got the money, you have the wherewithal, you have the power. So many fans wanted to move on from him. And then you hear just how, like, that's not a great idea. The players love him so much.
Right.
And you see what happened with Alabama. Now things change. You're going to go through a year. When you lose a coach, you're going to go through a transition year. Happened with Alabama. They won 9 games this last year. Michigan finished the year on an up note, obviously, but they had themselves, obviously, a down year after Jim Harbaugh ran away from justice to the NFL. You might deal with that, but I think that a lot of people were frustrated because it's like they wanted to move on to someone else, but the players love him so much. He can't go out there and get personal with it because he knows it is his championship. He's the one who gets the statue. Do they do statues at Ohio State of coaches, or is that just an Alabama thing?
We do all sorts of stuff. We got Buckeye Grove. Yeah. We've got...
He'll get something named after him. More than one thing, less than 100. Maybe more than 100 throughout the state. Who the hell knows? But he'll have something named after him. And he also knows that it's the players that get the job done. So while I would have wanted him to go out there and cut a Ric Flair-style promo and call out everybody, the haters and losers and everything like that, he wasn't going to do that because he knew that it was... Like, Jeremiah Smith gets the job done, not Ryan Day. Ryan Day does his best to put him in that position, but it's also the assistant coaches that help get the job done.
But
so
also
it
just,
was a very smart thing by Ryan Day.
But you couldn't blame him. There's never been a coach that has attained like that winning percentage, that dominance that Ryan Day has had over just about everybody with a handful of a few schools in a few games throughout his career at Ohio State. Nobody has ever had that kind of success, but has been met with that kind of criticism. It's never been close. You've never seen anything like it. Well, so if ever there was a guy who could do it, it would have been Ryan Day.
And he also knows this. There's inside football guys. Nick Saban has, this is like two diatribes that Nick Saban has gone on in a pregame about people calling for Ryan Day's job and how silly they are and really admonishing those who wanted Ryan Day's job. He also knows Kirk Herbstreit's going to speak up for him. And he knows whether whatever you might think of Kirk Herbstreit here over the last couple of years, Herbstreit's going to speak up for him. And he did yesterday. It talked about what Ryan Day has gone through in getting to the top.
I'm a friend of his, very objective, and try to be as fair as I can be. But I hear the stories behind the curtain. I know what he and his wife and his family go through. And it's tough, man. It's tough to be a coach at a premium school where you're expected to win every game. He handled it with such class, and he gets on top of the mountain.
You want to hear Kirk Herbstreit get emotional?
Yeah, it seemed like he was big-time emotional this game.
Kirk Herbstreit was in his feelings after the game.
You know, they went to hell and back. I mean, we can try to make this sound soft. I talked to these players. I talked to these coaches. I know what they faced after that Michigan game. I know the pain. And I know that a lot of people thought, the hell with this guy. Who else can be the guy? And I know what that did to have to put that away and not be, you know, like, who are you to question? Like, he just handled it, took the high road, didn't say anything, went out, got his team ready to play four games, and they won it. You know, 20 years from now, that's what I'll remember is how they kept it together just by themselves and had to fight out of that dark hole that they were in. And it's pretty special to think. It's a great example for all of us to learn about adversity and we want to quit. It's just, it's a great example, not just for football, but in life, about getting through the tough times. And the good times are coming ahead. And that's what this is.
It's very odd. I think it's very odd for a guy like him because he's let the quote-unquote lunatic fringe get to him. And it seemed like it got very personal with the Tennessee game, with, you know, how many people he said were wearing orange and going after the fans over the final, 6 minutes left to go, and he's given a talking to the fans. It's gotten very personal. However, outside of the fans, he's remained, you can tell he's remained close to the program in some fashion. And so
he has a son that's in the program. So I know he doesn't play, but think about that.
He feels like he has to stand up for the program in this moment, which he is.
I think there were Buckeye fans last night that have been railing on Kirk Herbstreit that didn't know that he was kind of close with Ryan Day. I think they thought Ryan Day and him were feuding or didn't like each other. And it's like, again, he's the biggest analyst in the game. His kid plays for Ohio State or is on the Ohio State, you know, roster, and he's got another kid who just committed to Michigan. It's a bizarre experience all the way around, and the lunatic fringe basically drove him out of Columbus, you know, down to Tennessee. I know he relocated again in Southern Ohio, but it's been a wild ride for Hershey. It's so bizarre to see how many fans jumped on him, and you got, like, you know, the radio host down in Columbus jumping on him.
Well,
it's very, very weird.
But you have, that's the world of college football. Every fan base has a lunatic fringe. And if you don't want the lunatic fringe coming after you at some point, then don't commentate on college football. So there's part of it. It's like, well, you're going to have to deal with some of the slings and arrows that come with it. Even if you played at Ohio State, it doesn't matter about that. But for Ryan Day, I thought it was very smart of him to not, I wanted him to, but I thought it was very smart of him to not get personal yet. I mean, he could be asked a question about it and say, you know what, the players, they did this, this, and this, but, and then he can go after,
he was,
if he wants to go
so
after one of
the
doubters, then fine.
It was just so interesting how subdued he was, considering how we've seen him be so emotional after certain games. And last night, it was just like, all right, yeah, won my national championship. I got that monkey off the back.
Well, it also might have been a little bit surreal to him. I mean, because you lose that game against Michigan. And I go, I don't know how he went to sleep. I mean, it was Saturday. We're there on Monday. I go, I don't know how he fell asleep after that. Only if he were to pass out. I can't imagine being able to fall asleep. I mean, you're at home. You know that the fans are upset. You hear them booing. You have the whole flag thing that happens. Jack Sawyer is beside himself. And it's like, how are you guys going to get this thing together and go out and play a playoff? You're going to be in the playoff, but how are you guys going to be able to get any of this stitched back together? And then the way that they came out in the first two games, the way that I felt they had that weird, stupid, where they get in their own way type of game that a lot of teams are going to have in a playoff. They found a way to get over that against Texas. And then, you know, held out and did their job against Notre Dame here. Notre Dame's quality football team that didn't give up. I have to give so much credit to the way that they got those guys to buy in, because before it was like, hey, you got all the talent in the world, but do you have heart? Clearly, it takes heart to win this.
Also, and this is weird because the fans, we can get emotional. We can go crazy. We can be sore winners because that's normally what happens. In this case, they represented the university with class. Like, it was a classy, it was a classy matchup. Both schools were so nice to each other. They were helping each other out. The cheap shots were few and far between during the game. And Ohio State wins the national championship. If ever there was a team that could have done some silly stuff after the game to be sore winners, it could have been them, given what the Michigan fans said was, okay, well, you had a chance to stop them, and you guys didn't stop them. So, yeah, Michigan gets to start fights on in the stadium and plant flags and, you know, to the point where players are getting maced. They didn't do any of that. They just calmly won the championship. Here's the football, Mr. Official. We're just going to go win a national championship. A little bit different than what you saw out of Michigan the last few years. My university has class. It's so beautiful to see, Kenny. It's so beautiful. You win the game and you act like you've been there before.